The truth of Christmas is the truth of sacrifice. Let me illustrate. O. Henry's classic tale, The Gift of the Magi, tells of Jim and Della, a young married couple who are struggling financially. In this story, as Christmas approaches, Jim and Della want to give special gifts to each other, but their lack of money drives them to drastic measures. Jim's prized possession is a shiny gold watch, which had belonged to his father and grandfather, while Della's is her long, beautiful hair, almost touching her knees. And here's the irony and the sacrifice. Jim sells his watch in order to buy combs for Della's hair, while Della sells her hair to buy a chain for Jim's watch. Now, Jim and Della were left with gifts that neither one could use. However, they realize how far they were willing to go to show their love for each other by great acts of sacrifice. Now, this story has deservedly become beloved, for it reminds us that sacrifice is at the heart of true love. And sacrifice is love's true measure. And this truth is particularly appropriate for Christmas, because sacrifice is the heartbeat of the truth of Jesus Christ's birth and why he came. For of all the people who have ever walked on this planet, Jesus Christ was born for the purpose to die for others. He was born to be a sacrifice for sinners. And that's why the angel of the Lord told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And long before Jesus Christ was born and God became man, Jesus was ordained in the purpose of the Trinity to rescue people from their sin, from the fall, from our rebellion, from our separation from a holy God. And that was sacrifice. For the truth of Christmas is the truth of sacrifice. For you see, over 2,000 years ago, the Creator of the universe, the eternal God, entered human society. The Creator became a part of His creation. Deity took on humanity. God became man. And in a mind-boggling miracle, and an incomprehensible and incomparable act of love, the Lord of heaven came to earth and became a baby. A baby. A baby that needed to be fed, burped, bathed, and changed. However, this child was the Lord Jesus Christ. God and man fused together in indivisible oneness. God incarnate, the infinite one became an infant. This birth was so monumental that it became the high point of history, the peak, the apex. For all history before his birth is B.C., before Christ. And all history since is A.D., Anno Domini, Latin for the year of our Lord. So history, in a sense, is his story. History revolves around a babe in a manger, and through thus his birth is the most important birth in all of history. The reason being, Jesus altered the world completely. In fact, no other human being has affected history remotely like he has. For there are millions of changed lives in our world because he came, like mine. And lives are changed every day because of the purpose of why he came to planet Earth. And certainly Jesus came to Earth to teach truth. He came to perfectly fulfill the law. He came to show us how to live in love. He came to reveal God's love. He came to heal the sick. He came to minister to the needy. But all those reasons, as important as they are incidental to His ultimate purpose. For Jesus could have done all those things without being born as a human. For He could have simply appeared like the angel of the Lord did in the Old Testament and accomplished everything I've just communicated without literally becoming a man. But He had one more reason for coming, which was the ultimate reason, the preeminent reason for becoming a man. And that reason, again, was He came to die, to sacrifice Himself. For the truth of Christmas is the truth of sacrifice. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, was born to die. God became man to die for sinners, to do what people could not do for themselves. God became man, to save people. The Bible declares in Galatians 4, 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So Jesus Christ was born to die one day, to go to a cross, to die in sacrifice for sinners, rise from the dead, and save sinners from the just wrath of a holy, pure, sinless God. So the message of Christmas is crystal clear. The Savior came. "For the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds," in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior," which is Christ the Lord. However, before you can understand the good news of the sacrifice of the Savior and salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you must understand the bad news of our sin. And this is where a lot of people stumble with the Christmas message and even turn it off. For an authentic celebration of Christmas recognizes that the eternal sovereign God came to earth as a human being to live a perfect, righteous, sinless life among people, and then 33 years later to die as a perfect sacrifice and rise again to deliver people from the wrath of God for all who repent and believe. And that's where true Christmas celebrations begin, with the reason for the season. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And naturally, we don't like to think of ourselves that way, that we are unrighteous, dead sinners, without hope, without a Savior, according to the Bible, the Word of God. And since the very beginning of time, people have been trying to save themselves in ways that make sense to them, rather than listening and submitting to God Almighty. We have been trying to figure out how we can justify ourselves and defend ourselves, that we're really not that bad, especially compared to so-and-so. And therefore, I'm a good person, and surely God will let me into heaven. And with some, especially if I'm religious and do religious things. However, let me reason with you for a moment. If that were the case, then why was Jesus born in a stable, laid in a feeding trough, a manger? Why did He grow up and not have a home of His own, suffering the mockery and torture of going to a cross and sacrificing Himself on that cross? I mean, if you could save yourself by your good deeds and your works and your achievement, then why was Jesus born? And certainly, why did He die? To give us a nice story? To give us a nativity scene? Or so we could wear a cross around our neck? No. Number one, He came to seek and to save the lost. For the Bible declares in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now this is the centerpiece of Christmas, and the starting block to truly, truly celebrate Christmas. We must see that we are lost. We must see that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. For God is our judge, and we have sinned against Him, so we are lost. And this is so vital and so essential for you to understand. People that think that they can achieve salvation, earn salvation, work for their salvation, be religious enough for their salvation, are not Christians. For true believers, true followers of Jesus Christ, see that they're sinners separated from a holy God. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. That all our righteousness are as filthy rags, according to Isaiah 64:6. And that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There are people that do good to others, but not good in the sight of God to achieve or earn or merit salvation. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Now that is bad news that many don't want to hear today. That I have rebelled against the holy and judging God who made me is not a happy thought. I am from birth on separated from a holy God. But it is an important, again, essential truth because it paves the way for the good news, and really that makes sense if you think about it. I mean, to have someone say to you, I'm coming to save you, is really not good news at all, unless you believe you actually need to be saved from something, that you need a Savior from whatever. And dear folks, the only way you can really see the depth and the length and the height of the love of God coming down to us at Christmas time is to understand your need of a Savior. Because of our willfulness, our rebellion, our pride, and even our self-sufficiency, our sin has separated us from God. So here's the problem. We need our sins wiped out, forgiven, not judged by a holy, pure, sinless God. The solution? Jesus Christ came. He suffered. He died in sacrifice. He rose again from the dead. Our response? Repent and turn to Jesus Christ in faith alone as our Savior and Lord. So there's no question about our need this morning, the bad news. Sin is a lot more than just the violation of some impersonal, arbitrary, heavenly traffic violation. It's no misdemeanor. It is rebellion. It is willfulness. It is I will. It is cosmic treason, shaking our fist at our Creator and saying, my will and my way is more important than your will and your way. I have a better way than you. And friends, it is a rejection of God Himself, a repudiation of God's rule, God's care, God's authority, and God's right to command those to whom He gave life as Creator. It is a rebellion of the creature against his Creator. Now here's where the good news becomes great news. By the way, not fake news, but good news. Christ was born to save. That's what we sing in the carol. Christ was born to save. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. There are tidings of comfort and joy. There is amazing grace. And the greatest gift of Christmas is wrapped up in two words. Two words. But God. And here's where the little word but, the conjunction but, is such a powerful word. Let me explain. The word but has the power to sweep away words that have gone before it. For coming after bad news like I've just communicated to you, the word but has the power to lift our eyes and restore hope to us. As Greg Gilbert said in his little book, What is the Gospel? The word but, more than any other word that can be spoken by a human tongue, has the ability to change everything. It's a game changer. For example, the train derailed, but no one was hurt. You have double pneumonia, but it is treatable. Your child was in a school bus wreck, but he's fine. Your daughter was in a car wreck, but she's fine, and no one was hurt. Yet sadly, sometimes the but doesn't come, as some of you know. Yet thankfully, it does come in the Christmas story of the gospel and why Jesus came and the life of Christ and his sacrifice on people's behalf. Listen to me what the Word of God has to say, please. In Romans 5:6, we have bad news. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's good news, but it's bad news that we're ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die. But God commendeth, showeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, there's bad news and good news. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's bad news. But here's good news. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. You were saved. That's good news. And then we have that in Romans 6:23. Bad news, good news. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the conjunction but changes everything. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, as you already heard in song, the perfect Savior died to make people righteous, to redeem them, to reconcile them to God. Jesus became sin for people that he would save. The Bible declares, writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He never sinned, that we even might be made the righteousness of God in him. And here's an important truth to understand. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, it was not for the punishment or sacrifice for his own sins, for he didn't have any. He was perfect and sinless. It was punishment for people's sins. He came to save his people from their sins. And as Jesus hung on the cross at Calvary, in the greatest display of God's love, Jesus bore all the horrible weight of the sin of his people. All their rebellion, all their disobedience, and their sin fell on his shoulders. And a righteous and holy God can justify, declare righteous, make right the ungodly, because in Jesus' death, mercy and church and justice were perfectly reconciled. And then Jesus rose from the dead to attest, to prove he was the Son of God, the Son of Man. In wrap up, the wonderful Christmas message this special morning that I want to convey to you is, Jesus Christ was born to die as a sacrifice. Because of that, there is hope today. There can be joy to the people in the world. There truly is good news on this special Christmas Eve morning. Christ was born to die. Christ was born to save. Turn to him and repent in faith if you don't know him this morning. For the truth of Christmas is the truth of sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let's pray together, please.